when I got fired from 10 jobs, my 10th job, I became mentally unemployable.
2022 was a cheat code.
You actually got to be good at what you do now.
A players are not easy to find right now.
Eliminating any role that is not a revenue producing role.
There's somebody who's a business coach who's doing a relationship podcast. Like, I don't get it, because you're not making any money.
Yeah. It's just not hitting the mark.
EO's birthday party is the number one in-person marketing event.
I ain't throwing my birthday parties for me. It cost me 40 grand to do that at my own place.
Neo is a master digital marketer.
We all here 8 hours and you see me working, you ain't going to be bull crap. What if it don't work? What if it do work? I'm just doing it. If they say, yo, how did you get here? I'm just doing the thing. The quicker you get to your dream life, the longer you get to enjoy it. Execution over excuses. It's go get the crap done.
Welcome to another episode of Full Transparency with Donnie Wiggins, where I give you a fly on the wall perspective about entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship and all the wonderful things they're doing. And y'all are about to be excited for today's guest, because I have one of my brothers in success sitting here with me. I can't believe it took him this long. I mean, we're only over a year into the Full Transparency podcast, and I can't believe, honestly, that it took him this long to be here.
We here.
We in this thing. I want to welcome, he's no stranger to any of you guys, but I got to tell you, super serial entrepreneur. This man has generated tens of millions of dollars in success in his business in a very short period of time. But what I love most about him is that it's not all about him. He has helped hundreds, maybe even thousands of entrepreneurs earn hundreds of thousands of dollars. He has helped others earn seven figures in their own ideas. He mentors across the world. He is a humanitarian. I just spent some time with him a couple of weeks ago, and his charity and his foundation giving back. He had me going from grocery store to grocery store, buying groceries for homeless, had me going from school to school, speaking to the youth. This isn't just for you.
No, facts.
Let's bring Nehemiah Davis
thank
to the forefront
so
of Full Transparency. Y'all
about yeah, to be that was a lot. That was a nice intro. I like that intro.
That was a nice intro.
Fire.
Did I cover everything?
Yes, you did. Yeah, Neo, I appreciate it.
You are outstanding.
I appreciate it.
Seriously.
Thank you.
You are outstanding as an entrepreneur. And one of the things that I love so much about you, of course, you pop your stuff, you know, when you get a chance. I see you and him 500 going back and forth, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
You have earned the right to be so just kind of detached, really, from what you do. You know, it's like a lot of business owners, they get started, especially in our industry, they get started and originally they're all for the people, and then they get this success, and then suddenly their business model becomes them putting so many other people in place, and they've disappeared and they're jet setting and vacationing, but you're still feet to the ground.
Yeah.
Like, what keeps you in that space where the people are such the priority for you?
I think it started that way. You know, my mom, earlier on, we've been doing nonprofit giving back stuff for about the last, 14, 15 years. So it was a requirement. I had to do it. Right. Mm-hmm. So I haven't changed, and I'm not going to change. It feels good to be really the same person I've been. We just are a bit more successful now, and I like being in the game. Like, I want to be in it. I'm seeing right now a lot of successful people I talk to. They said they're working harder now than they ever worked. There's still some of them working on the business and in the business, right? And I do both. But if I hear somebody, I was just with Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi, they're like, yo, we're working harder now. Grant Cardone, I look at him working harder now. Like, I'm like, these people are way more successful and they're working harder. Why wouldn't I be working harder and be on the pulse of things? So.
Yeah. I'm happy to hear that, because I've been having these thoughts this year, like, yo, I'm working harder.
Yeah.
It's think not everybody as is. Easy to get the consumer dollar right now. It's not as easy to get people to trust that you are the person that can actually help them.
Yep.
And I really am finding myself working harder.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I feel like 2020 through 2022 was a cheat code. It was like a glitch in the matrix that made things a whole lot easier. As a business person, do you feel like the trajectory of business as it is right now is like the norm? This is what we should be expecting and building from here?
Yeah, I think probably so, until another surge come, a pandemic, something happened that just maybe ushers a lot of money in the society. But yeah, this is probably how things are going to go. And what I'm learning is you actually got to be good at what you do now. You can't just slap anything up and expect people to get it. Whether you're, I've been going to restaurants, they've been empty. But when I go to Toast, it's popping. Why? Amazing chef, got a system, mastered the food, mastered the marketing, right? And it's no difference in restaurants. They just, they're extremely good at what they do. Yeah. You're a coach crushing it, doing your thing. There's somebody else doing similar, but they're not, because they're not as good. So you actually got to become good at what you do now. So if you're not good, now is the time to really be on your craft, like studying, getting better, and doing the thing. But yeah, I'm hoping it gets better. But right now, it's, and I think now is the time to go lean. I had a conversation with my homie. His company does over $150 million a year, and I was like, share with me some of your biggest mistakes, or what, like, let me know some things going on. He's like, yo, you got to keep the startup mentality. You got to be lean. You got to be agile. He said, we eliminating any role that is not a revenue producing role. If you are not tied to revenue in this season of our business, we don't need you. And if you are good, and you, and if you are great at what you do, we may just move you to another area if you're so exceptional. And that's the other thing is, like, you, they're laying off a lot of people. Microsoft, these biggest, I'm making a mistake. I haven't laid anyone off. I haven't really let anyone go. And I don't think we will. I'm not sure if we will, but it's like, you give me your thoughts. Like, every big company in the world is laying people off.
They're laying off.
Like, they're seeing something that it may become getting worse. And I realized that I got some people on my team that they're just not hitting the mark.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you. I luckily recently went through team members having to leave me for other opportunities. Someone who I valued so much in my company has gone on to get their master's degree. And it was kind of like a breath of overwhelm for me, because I had been thinking, you know, like, just thinking about my company over the last several months, maybe even the last year, like, we got to become more lean. I literally built my business to seven figures, honestly, with maybe two people.
Yeah, that's the way, though.
With maybe two people.
Yeah.
And now, so then you start expanding, you start doing other things. And now, you know, we've got podcast and podcast team and editors and graphic designers and this, that, and the other. And then you've got your assistants and your managers of all these different departments. And it's like, no, we got to go lean. But I don't even know if it's a matter of having to go lean, more as we jumped the gun in the first place, bringing all these people in. I had a very, very, very strict rule for me when it came to hiring early in the beginning. And it was exactly what your friend said. Any role that I hired for had to be revenue generating.
Yeah, that's the key.
But as you grow bigger and bigger, you kind of be like, well, I need this role.
I need a manager of this. Somebody to work this community. Like, I'm in that now. I'm like, well, how do I eliminate some of these? Because some of them, they ain't revenue generating, but I need it.
Yeah. I mean, but also you kind of have to look at your structure and your organization and say, do I need it? Can I combine some roles? When I coach entrepreneurs and they're looking to hire for the very first time, the non-negotiable, your very first hire needs to be someone that you really, really need, meaning they're going to be doing a role for you that you have no business doing, you don't do great at, and two, it needs to be one that's going to bring in more money. So this is like your sales team. This is somebody that's going to help you with marketing. And this could even be somebody in technology. Even though you don't see them generating revenue up front, that website go down and you realize how much
your
money
tech
they bring
team. 100%
Tech team was my very first hire.
What do you think about the video team? What do you think about just social media? I see people, I'm like, yo, I'm spending $30,000-$40,000 a month on content. And then I see, like, I look at Justin Phillips. He just threw a post on his phone, get thousands of thousands of comments. I'm like, well, that was no team. Not saying I'm sure he has a team, but I'm like, on the social media side, meaning a team, I seen this team, but it ain't no LARP. Let me produce this podcast. Let me, do you think, what do you think about just is the podcast play more brand awareness? What is the play for you? Like for me, it's been relationship building, but some of those episodes do good. Some of them don't do good. It's like,
same.
I don't know why I'm doing it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I make money from it, but it's like, it ain't like a, oh my gosh.
I just got my first check from YouTube. Yeah. Or I haven't even received the check yet. They just updated the dashboard.
Yep.
You know, I just put full transparency on my own podcast channel.
Okay.
On my own YouTube channel. Yep. So I just saw that I'll be making, I think it's like $1,500.
Okay.
People think that you make so much money from the podcast itself.
Yeah.
But there are so many other ancillary things that you have to do in order to pull streams of revenue from it.
Like I did $3,600 in the last 30 days off of YouTube.
Yeah, I did 50. My first check was $1,511, I think.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's it. So I'm super excited. Look, I saw that and I was like, let's go, YouTube. Yeah. $1,500. I'm super excited. For me, podcast, because I've never been able to run ads, podcast has been my lead generation source.
Yep.
So I personally think it's a play, so to speak, or strategic if you are doing a podcast in the lane that you operate your business in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really understand why people are doing podcasts that are not in the industry that they're doing. Like there's somebody who's a business coach who's doing a relationship podcast. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Because you're not making any money
doing
this. Unless this is just fun for you, it's an outlet, it's a hobby. But if it's a business strategy, it doesn't make sense. So it's been a lead generation source for me. Also, like you said, relationship building. I've been able to get people on this sofa with me that I wouldn't have had access to otherwise if I didn't have an outlet.
That's probably the biggest piece of the puzzle, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's the biggest piece, but you've done a great job, and I want to talk about that. For those of you who don't know, Neo is a master digital marketer. I know that you own event spaces, and you're a real estate investor, and you're a mentor and all these things, but when I think about Nehemiah Davis, you got digital marketing on lock.
Yeah.
All right. You're a marketer. Everything you do, I was telling somebody this. I said, no. Neo doesn't just make decisions.
Yeah.
Everything has a strategy in mind.
Yeah.
Right? Even how you place your friendships.
Yep.
Everything is strategic.
100%.
When I think of you and I'm thinking about you and your podcast, you have to do it.
Yeah.
Because it opens so many doors. How do you walk us through how you navigate relationships? Like you meet somebody.
Yep.
We've been in the same room.
Yep.
You will meet somebody and then you go and make $1 million with them.
Yeah.
Run us through this.
So it's so funny. It's so crazy. I'm at Toast at Linux yesterday with my wife. They got a new cafe next door, like a coffee shop. It's lit.
Toast?
Yeah. You got to check it out. Like coffee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Shop lit.
The one on Lenox Road?
Right there. Two doors down.
Okay.
Like, I'm going there when I leave. I'm going to go get me a milkshake. Was a smoothie. So, anyway, I'm in Toast or whatever. And I'm talking to the owner, Chef Harper Virgil. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, we kicking it, me, my wife, and him. And he's like, oh, you got to get with the lady over here. Her name's Erica or whatever. And he was like, well, she do this. She do all my packaging for everything that we do here. Like, the hot sauce, the selling, the mix, and all of that. And she came over. She owned a piece of franchise. She was actually on Shark Tank.
Okay.
So we just started talking. And I just started thinking in my mind. I'm like, yo, you really know all of this. Let me put you on the show. We got a show next week. Come record. But I always said, man, I can help do this. I already see a play for her. So it'll start by, let me get you on the show.
Yes.
Get you in there. But it's a huge opportunity that restaurant... most of these restaurants are not, they don't have no product. So if you got a hot sauce that I love, you're not even selling the hot sauce. Like, you're not selling your shirts. You're not selling merch. Like, Atlanta Breakfast Club is no merch. It's no, they're not selling any opportunity. And that is a staple in Atlanta. Staple. What's another staple in Atlanta restaurants that you fool with?
Right now, Breakfast at Barney.
Breakfast at Barney's. They're working probably on merch or something. Give me one more, maybe.
Atlanta Staple. Oh, what's that? On Peachtree Street. What's the little spot Andre 3000 likes to go to? It has the
4B. Our Thomas. Is it merch? Are they selling any products in there?
They sell nothing.
And as most of these, they're not selling any products. Another one, this is a side note because I want restaurants to get this. When the last time you received a text from a restaurant?
Never.
Ever?
Ever. I can't think of the only time, toot my own horn, is from the clients that I coach.
Bingo, bingo.
But they're not in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I've never received a text message from a restaurant.
That's that is crazy to me to think that, hey, come in today for happy hour. Hey, just added new items on the menu. Come in today, shot on me today.
Shout out your bartenders.
Yeah.
Because people like to come to your bar and see that bartender. Like, let them know. Deja's working today. Keisha's working today.
Yeah, just so many opportunities. So, moral, when I was in there, I'm like, maybe you and I come up with an offer to help restaurants. You, me, and Virgil come up with something to help restaurants. Y'all got the most popping restaurant here. You help do a lot of back end stuff with merch and all that. So that I still don't know what we're gonna do yet. In my mind, I got an idea, but that would be, let's get you on a podcast. Let's see how we mesh, right? And then that could be an opportunity. And even if it's not an opportunity, sometimes some of these relationships are longer term. Like, some people I have yet to make money with yet, but we're building. We're going to do something at some point in time. But so I'm nourishing that relationship. I'm having conversations. I'm inviting you to. Some people think my birthday party is just not a birthday. I'm intentional with who's in the room.
Neo's birthday party is the number one in-person marketing event of the year in Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's a marketing event.
100%.
You have to be there. Look, if you're ever invited, you're not just going for the lamb chops.
Yeah, Shout out Stryker for sure.
Shout out to Stryker. You're not just going for the lamb chops. You have to go in and strategically know how to work these rooms. If you're invited into certain rooms and you're not maximizing it, just like you guys have the event that you do at Spaceman now.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're going into these rooms, like, I hear the conversations, Neo.
Yeah.
And me and you are a lot alike in terms of strategy.
Yep.
And so when I go into like this networking event that you guys are doing monthly, I think now, and I hear the ladies at the bar trying to find a man, I'm like, y'all ain't working this room right. Y'all aren't working this room right.
Yeah.
Right?
How should they be working the room?
So first of all, when you go into a networking environment, the first thing that you want to do is understand the people who are putting on the networking event because it gives you an idea of who will be in the room. Mm-hmm. You're going to invite other people like you.
Yep.
You're going to invite people that you feel like are elite in their own space.
Yep.
The second thing that you need to understand is, what do you need in that room? What are you looking for right now? Do you need more podcast guests? Are you looking for more clients? Do you need more mentees?
Yep.
Do you need access to... creating products and, you know, things like that. What type of person do you need to meet in that room?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to go and you got to lock in. They be fine, Neo. Every now and then, I ain't gonna front.
Yeah.
I'll nudge Neo and be like, get on your job.
I remember when we was at Pinky event. Yeah.
Get on your job.
Yeah,
make that do what it do.
Yeah.
But even with that said, like, it's probably better for you to introduce me to somebody than for me to be trying to stand at the bar looking thirsty,
100%.
Waiting on you to come over 100%. Asking me for a drink, because that's the expectation.
Yeah.
That's the expectation. They expect you to be in those rooms for the wrong reason.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know who's in the room, have a target, and be strategically focused on that.
Yeah.
If you are single and you're, when people see that you're locked in and you're focused, that's going to attract them more than anything else.
Yeah.
But what's your networking tips? When you guys created the event, what's it called?
The room.
When you guys put the room together, and even with your birthday and things like that, how would you recommend that people navigate through those rooms?
Well, so the birthday and the room are two totally, the room is more invite everyone, just to get around, network, just us giving back, showing love, touching the people. The birthday party is like different. It's everybody going crazy in what they do in their own right. It's so many deals that are happening. And for me, is somebody's going to do business with me out of their room at some point just because they're hearing the chatter and hearing people I've won with, right? Okay. So that's something that I'm very intentional about, right? In addition to that, another thing is, the thing about the birthday type of events is you already seen some of these people online. Now it's just we making connections, but I just want people to remember, like, I met that person here. I met my wife here. I met my husband here. Yeah. I was able to do a deal here. Like, things are happening there. So in that room, that's more of a laid back, like, make some connections and start building. Yeah. Because I already understand you are one connection away from six figures, seven figures. Like, I've never met Marcus, I met him at Drew's BYOB conference. Jason, Grant Cardone 10X. Alex at ET conference. Mm-hmm. J.O. through Maddie J. Mm-hmm. And we've built a multi-million-dollar partnership, and we're friends in real life from going to these events. But I'm going up to people. And another thing for me, Donnie, is be intentional about how you can add value to someone's life. Mm. Most people are only in this, like, what can I get out of it? I ain't throwing my birthday parties for me. It cost me $40,000 to do that at my own place with me owning all of these. It cost $40,000 to do the last party. And it's, I'm being intentional about that. I'm being intentional about the connection. So I'm always wondering, all right, what Donnie need and how can I help? Who can I plug you with? How can I make a connection?
Let's touch on that a little bit, yeah. Because I think people are confused about, well, what value do I bring these guys?
Right.
Like, it's Neo Davis.
Yeah. And I need a lot of things. Wiggins. Yeah.
So what's valuable to you in rooms like that? And then how do you want to be approached?
Yeah. I think what I've started to learn to do, or what I tell people, because they come up to you, they come up to me, how can I help? I actually don't know. I got so much going on sometimes that I don't know how you can help. How you can help is based on what your skill set is. Like I need help in so many different areas, but it's based on what your skill set is. If you're a video editor, hey, we need help. I'm coming in here, I'm shooting a recap, and I'm giving it to you.
Yeah.
For free. And then hopefully I'm probably going to come see you. Mm-hmm. Right. It just depends what you do. I would say study a person, and I look at people and see where the gaps are at. They don't got a videographer. Mm-hmm. They don't got a photographer. I didn't see them there in the system. They were looking around when it was time to order. They ain't had nobody on their hip that could be the person getting them what they need. I realized there was no branding in here. I got a signage company. Next event, Neil, I want to go ahead and provide you a pop-up banner or something. Like, I just can you, like, send me you. Who can I talk to your team that I could get some images? Our team will design you. I want to just provide you a pop-up banner. Like, identify what you do. Because here's the thing, Donnie. When you're good at what you do, it's effortless.
Yeah.
It's effortless for you to give somebody a strategy. Mm-hmm. Now, again, it may cost them five, six figures, whatever. But if you wanted to, it's a effortless thing for you because this is what you do.
Yeah.
For me to do certain things, it should be effortless for somebody to chop up a video if this is what you do.
Yeah.
It should be effortless for me to print out a banner if this is what you. And so many people miss that mark. So I'm studying and I'm looking at everybody asking, how can I make connections? So when I go home, I'm noting what they need help with, and I'm instantly trying to make a connection. I think you taught me not the other day, we were somewhere, I feel like you told me this, but when you're meeting somebody, take notes. And you add, now I'm adding that in the notes section.
I put it in my phone, literally under your contacts.
Yeah,
I go in my phone, under the notes, and I'll say, this is what he likes.
Yeah.
This is what she likes.
Game over.
This is what they mentioned.
Yeah.
Here's something about them. So if I see you again, I can be like, oh, hold on. Neo's wife's name, Mindy.
Yeah.
How's Mindy?
Yeah.
You know, and you like, whoa. Feel, yeah, you remember me.
Yeah.
That's a hack for me. I have notes all up and down my
phone.
That's
a crazy hack.
If I have to send you something,
yeah,
I know what you like. I know what kind of clothes you like.
Yep.
I know what you're wearing. I know what brands you wear. I know what to send you. And that's very, very important.
And that's also going down there social and looking. What are they interesting? They're always with their kids. Mm-hmm. What do you get somebody that has everything? So now what I'm doing for my super affluent friends, I'm getting them a painting with them and their family.
That's hard.
Let's put that on a wall. What I'm doing now when it comes to gifting is I need you to be able to consume it where it's a nice package that you're going to eat it. I need you to look at it daily, consume it, look at it daily, or something that. So one of my guys, I bought him Lamborghini mats, which his logo on it. Guess what? He got to drive his car every single day. It's a conversation piece with the pillows in the back. Yeah. So I'm always thinking about, what do I get? So I've bought, shout out to him 500. He started, he bought me a Duna stroller, one of the best creations ever, right? Mm-hmm. I've bought so many people are darn doing it. One, they're $600. People are like, wait, you bought me what? I just be sending them. You will never forget this Duna stroller. Ever. This thing make life easy for you. Yeah. So I'm just always trying to think, how can I be that person?
What do I send? Oh, I do enjoy gifting my clients a champagne case. It's presented in a briefcase. Yep. It has a, I forget the name of the thing that you chop the top of the bottle off with. Yep. But it's not somebody else's brand champagne.
Yeah.
It has their name on it.
Yes, fire.
It's their company name.
Yeah.
So then they never ever want to use it.
Yeah.
And it's on, then they put it on display. So now when they have guests coming into their home and they've got this nice black matte bottle of champagne with their company's name and logo on it, now they want to know about it. And then they have to start bragging about their business coach or their business consultant.
Yeah. And that is when I was with Dean and Tony. Well, with Dean, and they was like, yo, these are the things people, that's the attention to details. Yeah. That's the small. Like something I need an assistant, or I need somebody to just pay attention to all the details. Yeah. I like attention. I'm suck at organizing, but I'm so full. I want attention to details on everything. I want you to remember what their favorite color was. I'm trying to get better. So when we do our podcast, I'm like, every time, how are we getting better by 10 points? Mm-hmm. We shoot next week. Give me a list of everything we're going to do to make this better than it was last time.
Reese, you hear that?
I need attention to details.
That, you know what attention I mean? Like, to details.
Everything. If everything we were, matters. The small things matter more than the big things.
More than the big. I was so impressed when I came to your set. Hey, are you a service-based entrepreneur that helps your clients or customers get some type of result, but you're struggling to post and communicate your message on social media? You don't know how to type a caption that connects and gets people's attention and converts them from just someone who's following you on social to becoming your customer or your client? Great news is that's my superpower. So I'm sending you 3 text messages every single day, excluding major holidays, directly to your phone of exactly what you need to post to get people to buy and convert them into clients and customers. All you have to do is join my program, Post to Paid, and you can do so by texting the words Post to Paid to 404-737-2767. And the best news is just $37 a month. So hurry up, send me the text. I'm looking for it now. Because you do things that we don't do. Neo,
I be telling David, I'm like, bro, you need to do this stuff.
Yeah, and you know, as I'm sitting here thinking about it, I have packages that I give away.
Yep.
I'd be forgetting because I wasn't the person who gave the packages away. Yep. It was somebody else's role to do that.
Yep.
And now they're no longer with the company. Yep. And I'm like, dang, I didn't bring Neo his package today.
And I'm cool on that.
I got to get it to you. However, I pull up to your set.
Yep.
And Raina, first of all, is like, let me know when you're 5 minutes away.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I let her know.
Yeah.
I pull up on the estate. The photographer and the videographer is waiting outside for me.
Yep.
They're catching me as I pull in.
Yep.
They're catching me as I back out, as I exit the vehicle. Yep. They've captured my walk up to the door.
Yep.
Then we get in and you've got the set. It's, you know, what do you need? What do you like to eat? Do we need to have snacks on set for you? Do we need to have drinks on set for you and all these different things? We arrive. Raina escorts me to the ladies' room so I can touch up my makeup, you know, and then we're seated. And you've got the videographer who is, you've got your engineer who is recording the podcast.
Yep.
Meanwhile, you've got another videographer who's capturing all these different images.
Yep.
You just knew the details. Before I got out of my seat, I had a reel.
Done.
I had a recap of my entire experience to take and post immediately.
Yep.
And I'm looking at it and I'm analyzing like, wow, Neo is really into the details.
Yep.
But it's so strategic because people leave your set excited to post about it.
100%.
And not just post on a story, which is also great. That's going to expire, though, in 24 hours. They want to take this highly produced piece of content and put it on their page.
Yep.
And now everybody wants to have The Neo experience.
Yep. Got your logo, got your face on the graphic, like a few things I'm adding. So we do lunch sometimes. So now
I had lunch.
Yeah. But now at lunch, I'm putting your name, go get the wooded names printed. So I want you to sit in front of your chair. Your name is on. Like, I'm trying not to, like, I want this to be, and that's every experience. The birthday, I'm obsessing over, yo, how do I make this the best? I want this to be your best experience because I need this to be the standard now. Yeah. And I'm just obsessing every day. I'm like, what do we do to just make this thing better? And
but
I want to do that in every area.
Managing that, understanding that, those are the details that cost money.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, be honest, like it costs us a lot to do. It's funny, as you're talking, like, I'm like, literally, why this next week, it's gonna cost me, but next week I got about 7-8 episodes. I'm gonna hire the barber to be on set all day, just in case I need to touch somebody up. Like, it's gonna cost me, but I'm gonna have a makeup artist there.
You gotta have the makeup artist
just
there.
Just to do the Even it don't even need the whole, but hey, we do have a makeup artist there if you need.
Mm-hmm. Because when I came to your set,
yep.
I forgot my mascara.
Yep.
I had all my makeup done, but I'd asked my makeup artist not to do my mascara because I was sneezing that day.
Yep.
And I'm like, let me put the mascara on when I get there. I arrive and I'm like, dang, I left my mascara at home. And it's a big deal to leave your mascara, right? And I got there, I'm like, Raina, do you have any mascara? She's like, I do. And so that would have been great to either have the basic kits that they can take with them.
Yep.
I mean, it might be a little expensive to just have these people on a set.
Yeah.
But you can put together, first of all, let me think about what I'm doing. I'm telling you, I'm ready to take my stuff to the next level. And let's talk about this because we're talking about elevating experiences, right? So that you're stand out as an entrepreneur. And it's not just about the podcast. This is about your course. This is about
everything.
Your mastermind community.
Yeah.
This is about your mentorship community. Yeah. It's about your body washes, your whatever your product, your salons.
Yeah.
Let's talk about elevating the experience because I think a lot about it, and I'm always like, right now, I want to elevate my experience. Other people use this set, right?
Yeah.
The only thing that we've done differently is added some lights in the background so that my set lights up a little differently so you can't obviously see it.
Yeah.
We've got some details in the background so you can't obviously tell, but they be in here letting other people use my lights.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they don't understand why I take it so seriously.
Yeah.
Like, no, because... Yeah. I want an elevated experience.
100%.
Let's talk about some things that we can do to elevate the experience.
Yeah. I think in business period, right? Or you're saying for the sets.
What, period. In business.
So I think it's so crazy. I want everybody to go pick up the book, Delivering Happiness. It's the owner of Zappos. I want to say they might have sold it to Amazon, but...
Delivering Happiness?
Delivering Happiness. It was a great book. Audio, check it out. And... The thing, Donnie, is like I'm obsessing. You should write down what are 10 ways I can improve in every area. My relationship with my kid. Like this should be an exercise, a 10 by 10. Write 10 different things you want to improve on and then write 10 different ways you're going to improve. And podcast, what are 10 different ways this can improve? Family with my wife, what are 10 different ways I can improve? With everything, how can I improve everything? Because what you're doing is you're now becoming it becomes no competition. I was listening to Kobe Bryant talk about how he was working out 3 to 4 days a week.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 to 4 times per day.
Yeah.
He says, if you do that for a year straight, it is very clear that there's no one that will ever be able to compete or touch you because it's a separating factor. So if every time I'm getting better, every week I do a show, I'm getting better by one or two ways. I'm going to be so far gone with my competitors. It's going to be crazy. Mm. So I would just say start writing out like, all right, how am I going to improve? Like, so when you call Zappos, you're calling to order shoes. You know what? I'm hungry. You know, they're going to tell you the nearest pizza store or the nearest vegan spot to your house. And they'll even order it for you if you need, they need to.
What?
If they need them to. Like, literally, they're that detail, like, we got you, sir or ma'am. It's just different. So it's like,
and you always want to do business with them now because of their level of delivery.
You're not even thinking like you order from Amazon because you're going to get it tomorrow or the next day. You're not going on Kmart or Target's website and ordering something.
Yeah.
They made it because there is going to be the cheapest and there's going to be the fastest. Mm-hmm. So I'm always just asking, my, like every day, I'm like, how do we elevate this experience? So if you're a barber, what are you not doing? The day I watched a reel the other day, and I pay $150 for my haircut. They come to the house, but I'm like, yo, I'm missing 7-8 things. They're wrapping a towel around their face. I've been seeing people do this thing. I don't know what, but it's like a gel thing that they put under the mm-hmm. eye. I don't know what it does.
It's to decrease puffiness under your eyes.
Okay, he put the gel thing on there. He gave the man like a facial while he was getting it. Yeah. I'm like, that's for $150. I'm paying $150. I'm not getting any of those things. Yeah. So now I'm like, okay, I want a barber to do that now. Mm-hmm. And now I'm reading the guy's comments. I want to book an appointment. Now somebody will go from paying $50 to pay $150 because of the experience. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you walk in that door, like you say, I'm intentional. I've been on so many different podcast sets. I know no one can touch mine right now. I mean, I've been on the best of them. Like,
experience for sure.
And I'm being intentional about it. I'm like, it costs me more to do it, but I want them to say, yo, you got anybody you could refer for this show?
Yeah.
Even down to the partnerships. Lamborghini, man, I got a certain amount of money allocated just to give back in a year to a partner. Mm-hmm. Anywhere from $1,000 to $10,000 allocated. I'm thinking about that. I'm going to send you a gift. Mm-hmm. You need something? Terica likes fishing. We gave her a fishing rod with her favorite quote on the fishing rod. It's just we're thinking about these small things because you're going to remember it. And then we're going to do it every quarter. Mm. And now you talk to your mentorship and coaching clients. When the last time you called them, not you, just people like, yeah. When the last time Louis Vuitton, any of these premium companies have called you?
They be calling me Neo. I can't lie.
Okay, they do. So generally, you have the rep at the store.
Yeah.
But for the most part, if you aren't spending it, they're not calling checking mm-hmm. on you, and not even wanting anything.
But, you know, as I'm thinking about it, man, you know what? As I'm thinking about it, like, my rep from Fendi mm-hmm. will call just to say hi.
Yep, that's nice.
Are you going to the game? They saw me at the Hawks game one day. Are you going to the game? They'll do stuff like that. But I also spend money at places like Zara.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience is not the same.
Yeah.
They're rushing you out of the store.
It's also a different price point.
It's a different price point. Yeah.
They going for volume there.
Okay. So does that matter in terms of the experience that you deliver?
I think we should still be focusing on at that level, wherever level you at, how can I still provide the best possible experience.
Yeah.
So that mean maybe adding some AI in there. That mean adding a virtual assistant. It mean we can't give the same experience to somebody that's giving you $50,000 or a partnership than somebody in your $97 a month thing. But I can do things in there. A virtual assistant could pick up a phone and call everybody in the $97 a month program in a day. In an hour and just leave a voicemail. One small thing that has elevated. You probably can't send them up. They're paying $100 a month, churn maybe 4 months. I can't send them a $100 package.
Right.
But I might could write them a handwritten card for $5 and it goes. So I think about all of those with the levels, we could still elevate and provide an exceptional level. It just depends at what level is that.
I forget the name of this boutique. I'll tag them in the episode. But I ordered a dress mm-hmm. from this boutique on Instagram.
Yep.
And it was like, I don't know, a $200, $300 dress.
Yep.
And when I got my package, there was a note inside that said, I ordered it in my real name. And there was a note inside that said, oh my God, Donnie, we're so excited to send this dress to you. They sent me a pair of earrings to go mm-hmm. with it, just like some costume jewelry. Yep. They sent me a pair of earrings, but on the note it said, oh my God, Donnie, we're so excited to send this dress to you. We hope that you enjoy your free gift. Also, we're huge fans of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That meant something to me.
Yeah.
That meant something. Details. They didn't have to send anything lavish or do the most. It was like, oh, okay, experience.
Mm-hmm.
I love that so much. So now when I wear this dress, what am I going to do?
You tagging them. You showing them up for free just because of the experience.
Just because of the experience. Yeah. You know what industry I think is missing the mark right now and experience the most? The beauty industry.
Specifically, tell me about it.
The female beauty industry.
Okay. And that's now, an expensive industry, too.
Yeah, it's expensive. Like, women are going in on average spending $200, $300 on a hairstyle.
Yeah.
And that could even just be maintenance, right? And this is compared to when it used to be $25 for the same service, $50 for the same service.
I remember the $40 wraps. We call them wraps back in the day.
The doobie wraps, yeah, yes. Yep. So you can't get a wrap. First of all, nobody's even wrapping your hair anymore because it takes too long for it to dry.
Yeah.
And this is what I mean. Like, I see a lot of hairstylists who have limited the experience.
Yeah.
They don't want to shampoo your hair. Don't detangle your hair. Don't do
come already shampooed.
Come already shampooed.
Wow.
Come shampooed and dried. Come this, that, and the other. We're not taking your hair out. You got to find somebody to do that for you. But then they still want to charge $200, $300, $400, $500, $600 on hairstyles, right? And then I see the stylist, like, I have a client who's a salon owner, and I tell her, I want you to always think 90s hair salon experience. Just always think 90s hair salon, early 2000s hair salon experience, because that's when going into the salon felt like home. You went to the salon, you couldn't wait for your appointment. You're in there, you've got something to drink, you're chit-chatting, telling your stylist all your business, and then you're tipping good. We would tip nearly the price of the service because it was such a great experience.
Yep.
Meanwhile, now, when you go to simply book a hair appointment, it's like a page long of don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and we don't do this, and we don't do that. And I just feel like they would be making so much more money.
They got a brat fee now.
What's a brat fee?
Like, if your kid going to be a brat, they taxing you more.
What?
Literally, it's like $50. What? Somebody was coming to braid my kid, like, brat fee. It's like $50. Like, if they scrambling and moving and all, it's going to be extra.
Wow.
Yeah, it's different.
It's different now. Yeah. Back in the day, stylists would put things in their salons for the temperament of the kid.
Yeah.
Like, make sure they have a game to play. Make sure they have coloring books. Make sure they have their favorite snack to eat.
Yep.
And now there's the brat fee.
Yep, it's crazy. Even wine, like, just a box of wine is $15. I remember you buy one box of wine a week, refrigerated, it lasts. Give them some wine. It costs that. Because I had I've been doing events for years. I never bought bottles. I always bought the box. Because I know I had these networking events, you could serve like 60 to 80 cups with one box. How much extra for you to, hey, would you like some wine with your shirt? Like,
in a deep condition.
White or red?
Why do I have to pay $25 extra for you to condition my hair? To me, when you do things like that, like, I understand there are some things that you will charge extra for.
Yeah.
But a conditioner that you just have to slap in my hair and let sit on there for 10 minutes?
Yeah.
You don't have to charge me extra for that.
You think it's because it's a volume play with them? The more they could get in there, they don't really got time to do, oh, that's 10 minutes you got to sit.
No, and I don't even think it's volume, because many of them don't be booked back to back to back to back like that. They're trying to squeeze all of the money that they can out of one client so they don't have to run a volume play. It's like, I can see two clients and make $1,200 today and be out of here in the next 4 hours, right? That's more of what it is than it is a volume play. And if it is for some people a volume play, then we have to find a way to accommodate that. But when you tell a woman, like, I'll shampoo and dry your hair and style it, but a conditioner is going to be extra, to me that says, oh, this is a stylist who doesn't prioritize the health of my hair. I don't want to go to you.
Yep.
So you're losing a valuable client because of what the message is that's being sent by how you're charging all these services. A conditioner isn't included?
Yeah.
Everybody now, I won't say everybody, but so many people now are so, they're worried about just what's the fastest way to the money. And I get it.
Yeah.
We think about the same things. What's the fastest way to accomplish the goal? But we can't skip the steps that matter most to the process.
And here's the thing. Every business need to have, one way for every business to make more money is create a digital product.
Okay.
Every business can. So a hairstylist, create a guide on healthy hair, a guide on hair growth. $10, $20. And hey, also, I got a dope guide, a whole handbook on some things you could be doing while you're at home to grow your hair. Would you also like to get that?
That's it right there. That's it right there, because so many people in that industry specifically are trying to teach the other stylist when every stylist in the game wants to be an educator of stylists. Educate your clients.
100%.
Educate your clients. Not only that, if there are certain things that need to, or that are required to maintain this hair, if you want them to sleep on a satin pillowcase, sell them the satin pillowcase.
Yo, it'd be crazy. Well, you can go on Amazon and buy it. No, you sell it.
You
should be trying to get, instead of nickeling and diming your customer like the shampoo, hey, also, girl, you for sure need to be sleeping on a satin pillowcase using this style brush.
Yes.
And we got some hair vitamins. You need to be taking the hair vitamins.
Listen.
You just made another 100 possibly.
Another 100.
Because I don't feel like going on Amazon. Let me get it right now.
I need it right now, because what am I going to do tonight?
Yeah.
You've convinced me that I need this tonight.
Yeah.
And if beauty salon industry, if there are products that they need to use every day. So right now we're in this era of edge control. Nobody wants their edges to look unslicked down. The edges got to be laid. Well, don't tell me like this is the edge control you get or I use on you and you can get it on Amazon. You need to be selling this stuff.
Yeah.
You need to have your own, like it's worth it at that point. If this is a staple that people are going to use every, like if your brush only gets this look, you need to be selling the brushes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like there's so many areas that entrepreneurs are leaving money on the table by chasing trends.
Yeah.
In the business, like what is everybody else doing in your own business, Neo? Do you believe more in building a classic model, or do you believe in keeping up with the trends, or is it important to do both?
Yeah, I mean, I think trends are important. I think when we say classic, explain classic model, just so I understand.
So, I believe in building a classic model, considering trends.
Okay.
Meaning, customer service is what customer service is.
Yeah.
The personal touch, like what are the things that are going to be, the things that are going to last, have longevity in business. Like, you know, doing the dancing reels and all of that stuff might be cool if it's your personality, but that's not going to bring you sustainability in your business.
So I like the classic model with keeping an eye on a pulse of trends, because people make millions or hundreds of thousands in trends. I'll give you an example. I heard so many people, amount of money they were making with testing, like the nose testing and the drive through. COVID centers.
Yeah.
Like I know personally a couple people that made $100 million.
I missed out on that.
So I went to go do it at the end.
Yeah.
And I missed the trend.
Yeah.
So I think you should be opening up your idea to what are these new trends that I could add in my business. So if I'm doing e-commerce right now, TikTok shop is the way. It's new. It just came out. It's under a year old. Everybody who's got a physical product need to be incorporating TikTok shop and letting these influencers go sell your product for you. You go get hundreds of people to sell your thing right now. Mm-hmm. In a year, that won't be as effective. Mm-hmm. You got a short window. Mm-hmm. But it's mean keeping your eye on the post, looking for these. Like when a song, this thing right now on social media, it's their thing where people are doing reenactments where right now it's like, it was somebody pushing a ambulance and the thing fell on the ground and the person fell off the ambulance.
I saw that,
people now, they
got
your attention now. That's a trend, but you know, that may work intentionally just for a piece of content.
Yeah.
But stick with your main form, the main thing that's working. But when you see something new, like for example, you could go follow Instagram for Business or the CEO of Instagram and just check their page every week. What's new coming to social media? So I could be on top of it when it comes out.
Yeah.
Because normally when it comes out, that's going to be at the highest level that you can do it at before they're censoring you, before they putting caps on your content.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're about to charge us Instagram,
$350.
$350 for Ultimate.
How do you feel about that?
Yo, I'll pay $350 if they will let all my followers see my stuff.
Yeah.
I want my story views to say 600,000 people saw it.
Yeah.
I'll pay $350. If they can do that, they got me for my $350.
But what if they don't?
I ain't doing it.
Yeah, I said I'm paying the people whatever they asking for.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm paying the people. So, but it's a little different for me.
Instagram clipping though. Can you imagine how many people going to do the? If a million people do the 350, how much?
Oh my gosh.
What's first that 350 all, a month? I'm just curious what $1 million times 300, getting a million people.
Uh-huh. To do $350.
Yeah, a million a people. What's that million times 350? That's $350 million a month times 12. The calculator can't even compute it. The
calculator won't even do it.
I don't know how many billions that is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane.
That is crazy.
But they gave us,
they built the audience for so long.
I was going to say they gave us, I don't know how many years.
For free. Yeah.
For free.
Probably about 10 plus years.
And they've done it to the point where now people are addicted to the platform.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're studying, like they've studied user behavior. They know how many hours we're on this platform. They know everything about every user account. They see how, like, it's like, oh my God, Instagram is this free platform that allows business owners to make multiple millions of dollars.
Yep.
No, it's a strategy.
Yeah.
It's a strategy.
And they got you.
And they got us.
Man.
Look. I mean, they got us first. I believe that they got us first with the whole verification thing.
Oh, yeah. How much they went crazy on
that
one,
they got
too.
Us first with the whole $14.99 verification.
And I said a million. How many billion people on Instagram?
Worldwide.
Yeah,
this is
at least 2 billion users on Instagram right now.
Now, I did hear someone who follows these trends say that they attempted to drop a $150 a month subscription in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't going for it. Yeah. It didn't work. They did it. The idea. So we don't know how successful of a plan this is going to be. I am sure that this.
But it costs them nothing to do the plan.
It costs nothing.
Hey, just open up their reach. Turn this button on and let them just let more people see their thing.
Put the algorithm in their favor.
That's it.
Yeah. However, this is a leak, a spill, right? That we've gotten wind of this information. I am sure they're studying and looking at the comments and seeing what people are going to do.
Yep.
And they'll probably even release it and see what people are going to do.
Yep.
And it may work. It may not work. We do have the power. We have the authority to not give in so easily and say, nope, we're not going for it.
Yep.
And make it something different. Do you get tired of like chasing all these trends and staying up
it's
on it?
It's a lot. Honestly, it's really too much.
Mm-hmm.
TikTok, you got this, you got that. I ain't even on. I'm on TikTok, but I've never posted on TikTok ever.
Me either. Any post that you see of me on TikTok, somebody on my team
is done. Same. Yeah. It's almost like you got to keep somebody on your team that's just focusing on trends and what's new and what's like. I think I tell people like, you need, for us, like, we need a product developer in our business. There's somebody constantly making new products for us.
Yeah.
That is a huge opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, I've been pushing a lot of the same products. Some of them are, oh, it's time for, yeah, it's like, all right, you got to mix it up. So just having that in your business, like, every business needs a digital product. Yeah. Every business go make more money.
I literally just took my signature course off the market about, I don't know, five months ago or so.
Yeah.
Maybe not even that long, because it's time for a refresh.
Yeah.
Like the way the course is how to build your coaching and consulting business, how to earn six figures from your own coaching and consulting business, right? It's called the Six Figure Accelerator. And I literally just took it off the market because I believe in marketing the most up-to-date, most relevant information. And it's no longer like I have to go in there and literally re-record so many of the modules that I just needed to take it down, because the way that I was building my business then isn't the way that I would build it today. Like some of those, some of the technology, some of the factors, they just aren't the same anymore.
Yeah.
But now you're sitting there, like that course would bring in, you know, I don't know, maybe $30,000 a month by itself, you know, in terms of revenue. So now you're missing that element of revenue. A product developer would already be on it.
100%. Yeah, and that's, I'll be like, yo, we need product coming up with freebies. Just constant. It's just somebody that's just a refresher, just knocking crap out for
What's the state of courses right now, though? Is that like, is that still something that you would be highly focused on creating newly and putting out?
Yeah, no, it's getting rough. I think if you are not good at what you, it's going to be hard to sell. If you're not a marketer, if it's actually not good, if you're just trying to slap some crap together, don't do it.
Yeah.
You got to be like somebody who just started working with us. They like, yo, you got an actual team. Like, you're not just running the Instagram. No, I got W-2 employees. Like,
you
I got.
When we were trying to get an office space together?
Yeah, I remember.
We were
going
to share. We still need to do that.
Yeah.
What you think?
I don't know about the. I don't know.
Here's what I think.
I know for sure people would be much more efficient in
That's
the office.
That's what I was about
1,000%.
If I had an office.
I'm like, yeah, what you got going on, homie?
Right. What we doing? Yeah. We had it planned out, y'all. We went and looked at couple buildings, but we found one that we liked, but we really wanted that guy to move out of his space with all that stuff everywhere.
Yep.
But we were like, our sales team is going to go here, and this is going to go, and I'm going to train in this area. You're going to train team in that area. Yep. And I still don't think it's a bad idea because efficiency will increase significantly.
1,000%.
I just feel like having team working from home has been the biggest challenge for me in terms of being a leader in my own company.
Yeah.
Because you can't see. You don't want to micromanage people.
Facts. But they bull crapping. I ain't going to hold you.
They are.
Yo, listen, I had a team retreat, Donnie, about a month ago. We was at the crib, everybody on their laptops all around cooking. I'm like, ooh, this might be. That's when I start saying, maybe y'all got to work from the spot we got once a week. Mm-hmm. If everybody in Atlanta, because now we all here 8 hours and you see me working, you ain't going to be bull crapping. Mm-hmm. You going to be working. Like, I know how efficient you'll be with it. So I will consider it.
Yeah, and I think it also just adds to the culture.
Yeah,
like it won't
for sure.
be so much of a revolving door.
Because I want everybody in Atlanta anyway, personally. Like for the most part, I want everybody here.
Me too.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm on now too. Yeah. Like I'm not as attracted to, I mean, there's a place for virtual assistants. There will always be a place for a virtual assistant. But honestly, I want my team here.
Yeah.
I want them to, because building in the lane that we're in, you also have to understand like me and how I think, the psychology of, you know, the things that I teach. I want you to know when I'm speaking this language, I don't want it to be foreign language to you.
Yeah.
It's just like when I sold cars, I had to learn what was under the hood of the car. I had to learn, you know, about horsepower and mileage and all of these things. I had to learn about it. I didn't just go in and show up and call people to come in and buy a car. And I think that it's super important for people to be around you in that capacity and learning in that way.
And I'm going to tell you this. I ain't going to lie. Like, Maddie is helping me right now. Shout out to Maddie J. Like, you got to go on this page. This dude got this. I'm building this whole thing about my life. Like, I'm documenting everything from, like, documenting my entire life. But one of the things that we're documenting is, how was it to work with me? Like, here's what he liked to eat. Here's what he loved. Here's what he hate. Mm-hmm. Here's his pet peeves. Here's this. Here's this. Here's how y'all. Like, a lot of times we hire people. After we hire, my mom got a call. I'm like, hey, I just want to let you know, Neo don't got a bunch of emotions. It's like he's very driven. Like, he's very want to go get it done. Like, you see me online very nice and all, but I am trying to drive a result. Mm-hmm. Working with that, you too. You're going to tell you what it is. You're going to be blunt. You're going to be. So we're letting you know that. But now we got. It'll be a sheet. Here's everything you need to know about him. Mm. See if this is something. Here's his personality traits.
This is what you're signing up for.
Here's his personality traits.
Yeah.
Here's how he operate. He is last minute. We're working on. Like, here, you got to be able to move. Like, I'm calling you an hour. If you work full time, it shouldn't be an issue. Hey, meet me in 90 minutes. We actually, this just popped up on the schedule. Mm-hmm. Like, I meant to tell my guy here today. I was like, but it was literally 45 minutes prior.
Yeah.
And he don't move like that. So I already know. But you now notice, is this something I want to sign up for?
Is this what I want?
Even somebody you dating.
Here are my details.
Here's my credit. Let me, are you asking somebody for a credit score right now?
No. The only thing that I do new now in dating is...
That was random. We just went from...
requesting that they sign an NDA.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How that work? Tell me how that works.
Listen, like, because when I date, I go in. Like, I'm all in.
Yeah.
And I know what I like right away. I know what I don't like right away. And I go in with the trust. Like, I don't like to withhold too much, right? And I'm not talking about how much money I make and yada, 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 but you might have access to things. You might, I might bring you in certain rooms. You might hear me talking about certain components of my business or of my life, or you might be around when Neo is telling me about some of his business.
Yeah.
So to protect the integrity of everything I've built, I'm cool signing it mutually, you know, one for you too, but now you got to kind of sign, you got to sign an NDA.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's just an added layer, because what I have learned is men run their mouths like women.
Wow. Let me ask you this. What if you get in with somebody and you realize they really got financial trouble, credit bad, like they just, so you want to go get a crib, they can't even put their name. I heard somebody say, oh, I'm asking for credit scores and credit reports from the rip now. I'm like, dang.
Yeah, so I
credit report might be a little too much because it's tell personal. All your stuff.
Yeah.
But the score.
So I don't necessarily bluntly ask for what's your credit score.
Yeah.
But I am paying attention to certain things. So when you take me out on a date.
What kind of card are you using? Because of what I
know, what kind of card are you using?
Mm-hmm.
If you're using your debit card, to me, that's an indication. If you're a businessman,
yeah,
and you pull out your debit card to take me on a date, that's an indication that there could be some financial unawareness there, and that means that your money might be not might
unless
not
you're
right.
Anthony O'Neill.
Unless you're Anthony O'Neill. Unless
no, he
you're
don't
Anthony
do credit. But he got it together. I'm just saying, like, that could be.
Okay. That's funny. Shout out to my guy, Anthony O'Neill, yeah. Unless you're Anthony O'Neill. But even still, you're able to tell if you're pulling out a Chase card, does it have private client on it? You know, and what kind of debit card are you pulling out? Are we with one of the majors at least, or is this something that's a little sketchy? But no, generally speaking, I don't ask anybody for their credit score, but I do ask fact finding questions.
Yeah.
Right. I want to know. You know, I'm paying attention to, like, the registration on the back of your car.
Mm.
Is that your birthday? Is that your birth month? Or is that in somebody else's name?
Wow.
And I'd be like, oh, is your birthday in June? Yeah. Like, and I'm standing behind you. Is your birthday in June? No, it's February. I'm like, the car is in my business name. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. That makes
sense. So those numbers are normally your birthday?
Yeah, the year that the month and year, well, not the year, but the month, it'll say February. When your registration expires, it's your birth year or birth
month. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
something new. So I do stuff like that. Like, yeah. I'll intentionally walk around the back of the car and I'm like, wait a minute, Neo, you told me it's your birthday in June?
Yeah.
And they'll be like, no. And I'm like, oh, because.
Well, this is my sister car.
Right. Those are things that I have to ask. And knowing also what I know about credit, I want a responsible person, but we can fix a lot of stuff, you know, and it depends. Like, I'm not.
So you okay with a fixer upper?
No, I'm not okay with a project, right? But for example, I knew a guy who had recently gone through a bankruptcy,
mm-hmm.
and that might not be ideal for most women.
Yeah.
But for me, I understand you're a businessman.
Yeah. Things happen.
I need to know why. That bankruptcy happened.
Yep.
Sometimes it's better to just wash everything away than it is to try to, you know, pay these debts. Or sometimes it was a strategic business move. And then we'll have a conversation of, like, how you separate these things and things like that. But no, I'm not credit score, but I'm also not looking for a project.
Yeah.
Not at this big age.
So, and we went down a rabbit hole, but how helpful would it be if someone knew how to operate with you and know what you already about? Because I've gotten to things where it just doesn't work after a while because these things of how I am so now, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy to be.
It would be
this
as
time.
You were saying that, I'm like, wow, I typically make or I request anybody who comes and works with me to take like a series of love language tests.
Yes, that's important.
Enneagrams and things like that.
Yes.
Because I want to know how to communicate with people. I need to be like, is she lazy or, you know, what was it?
Yo, that's a hack. Now, people need to do that before you hire a person. Mm-hmm. Look at their disassessment.
Yeah.
You need to do all of that. Look at, and I don't know what thing, I don't know if that, but if you hire an assistant, attention to detail matters.
It matters. But I'm also you have to analyze these things throughout the whole process. So if you haven't, like, for me, when I go and hire a new assistant now, it's little things like if there are grammatical errors in your email,
that's a problem.
Immediately disqualified.
We're hiring a financial controller. It was things in their email that was incorrect. Like you,
the comma can't be in the wrong place.
Yeah, you know exactly. You dealing with money.
Yeah. These are things. What's the biggest right now? If you'd have to say, what's something that you're struggling with right now in business?
I think team, man, it's like now that I'm pointing, I want all A players. Everyone's not an A player. And I want all A players. Mm-hmm. It's like, so as me continue to grow to become better person, better leader, right? And I'm so much better than what I was, but I need people that's just going to go get it. I need A players. And if you ain't an A player, almost we got to move you out of. So I'm struggling with that, getting A players. I think there's people on my team not in the best seats, meaning they even need a better seat or they got to roll out of here. That's those.
You ought to let me take a look at your structure of your organizational structure. I can help you with that.
Yeah, please. Yeah, feel free. Yes. Give you the org chart and all of that. But yeah, I want to do that. And what else am I struggling with now? I would say that's the main thing, is the team thing. Like I think that's, I want to go back to lean, Donnie. Like I ain't trying to have, like I'm cool with running how we're running, but if I could reduce it, I want to do that too.
Yeah, I mean, because I think at some point, and you can tell me, I think for many entrepreneurs, these large teams were a vanity metric for a lot of people. Like, yeah, it just looked
good. Ain't me. Ain't, I don't want, like, when people say I got 1,000 employees, that sounds like stress to me.
That's scary.
I don't even want 200. Give me 10 savages ready to, like, who are on it.
But A players are not easy to find right now.
They're not, because they're not. Already, you don't, unfortunately, you don't.
Hey, CEO Donnie Wiggins here, and I am so excited to announce my new mentorship group is dropping. You may have already heard about it, but I wanted you to hear it from the horse's mouth, directly from me. My new mentorship group, Actionable CEO, for entrepreneurs who are interested in professional growth, personal growth, and financial growth. You want to learn from me. Y'all have been asking for this for the last 3 years, and I have finally brought Actionable CEO back to serve you. Every single week, direct mentorship from me. You will also hear from other people who are in my community that I believe will be greatly impactful to you. You're going to get behind the scenes. We're going to be spending some time together live. This is not pre-recorded. This is live mentorship. So if you are an entrepreneur and you want to be connected, feel connected, you want to elevate your brand, you want to elevate your life, you want to elevate your level of success, Actionable CEO is for you. ActionableCEO.com. See you there.
You don't go hire an A player. You got to poach them from somewhere. They already somewhere already.
Yeah, for sure.
You're not looking for
where they are and they're unhappy.
Exactly. That's it. You don't. They're good. So good. Someone got them already.
Yeah.
So that's another thing when we're hiring. I'm like, oh, where are we hiring from? Like, we need, if I need a controller, we need to go get a controller who's already controlling somebody on the next. Now, if you want cool, just find somebody you can find somewhere.
I believe, though, that there's value in hiring B players.
And developing them.
And developing them, because your B players can turn into A players. And B players aren't bad.
Yeah.
It depends on the role that you have them in. B players aren't bad. So I learned something. I forget which one of these big rooms that I was in, but I learned something from this guy and it made so much sense. Like, if you got a person that's operating at a C+, don't just let them go. Like, a C+ player is someone like, a C+ player with drive.
Yeah.
Because you can develop them into a B player. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, like, we want people to operate the way we would operate. We want them showing up at 100%.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, if we had 90% of our team operating at 80%, we'd be skyrocketed.
Yeah.
It would be insane.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you have to understand the type of player or leader you have to be to deserve, manage, and keep A players.
Yeah.
It goes both ways.
Yeah.
Do you actually want the responsibility of having a whole bunch, a team full of A players? That's a payroll, Neo.
That, you're right. That's something to think about.
And then that requires that you actually are not last minute, because A players are not. Yeah. That requires that you have some structure.
Yeah.
That requires that you have some organization.
Yeah.
Like, it requires you to grow and develop in ways that may not be comfortable for you just yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's also something to consider. We want sharp players for sure. I want all AB players.
I like that. That made sense. I think, because if you are a player, that's top tier.
Top salary. Tier. Oh, A players got demands.
100%.
They got demands, baby. Yeah. Like, they're not just coming like, Neo, what can I do for you? They're sitting in the interview like, what can the circle of greatness do for me?
Yeah,
100%. How can you elevate my career?
100%. I got options here. Let me ask you this. You said what I'm struggling with, and I've struggled with this forever. Like, and I don't know what I need to do, and that's almost not business person. It's hybrid. Like, it's just, I lose everything. I don't know what that is like. I don't know what my wallet is right now. Like, it's just like, I'm trying to, like, how do I lose a car key? I'll misplace, sit something down, forget where I put it at. Like, I don't, it's like, is there a formula to becoming better with that? Like,
I think so. And I'd have to do more research, but right away, it sounds like you're a person that has a million things on your mind.
Yeah.
So it's like, you ever been in a conversation and you've had a long conversation and you leave and you can't remember what you talked about? Like, I don't remember what I talked about. That's usually a person that has so much on your mind, like you're present, but you're not intent, right? Yeah. You're not intentional. And so when it comes to like just dropping things off, it's like you're probably on your phone, you're talking, you're sending a text, dropping keys there, dropping this there, not taking stuff out of your pockets. You got to be intentional about creating a system.
Yeah. So it's like, walk in the house, put the key down here.
Right there. Walk in the house, empty all my pockets. The keys, the wallet, the chapstick,
SOP.
Everything goes there. You have to have an SOP. And then you have to have somebody who holds you accountable to that SOP. So
paperwork go here. I think we solved it. Yeah.
Yeah. Paperwork only goes here. And so, like for me, when I first started, I pride myself on not losing things. But those dang on AirPods, when I first started getting AirPods years ago, I would just, because they start to hurt in your ear after a while, I just take it out wherever I am and just put it down. And it's like, oh, okay, don't forget to get your AirPod. It only took me two times of losing my AirPods, losing that one dang on AirPod, that I said, okay, the AirPod can never come out of my ear unless it's going in a case.
Yeah.
And for the last 3 years now, the AirPod only goes in my case. And the case has to immediately go in my purse.
Yeah.
There's only two places that that case is allowed, my nightstand and my purse.
Mm.
Otherwise, I deal with the pain of the AirPod in my ear.
Yeah.
That is an SOP. That is something that I have worked with myself on for years, and it's just a non-negotiable. I just had a situation. I had my assistant's phone with me in Arizona.
Yeah. Like, I don't know where my other phone right now.
I left the phone in Arizona.
Yeah.
I have a rule, but somehow, and it's only with my own phone. I had this extra phone, right? And I'm in my hotel, and you know how the sheets are, how they fold those sheets over. It's got, you know, they fold them and they're tight. And I had the freaking phone on my bed, going through some contacts in there, and I threw it on the bed, and it must have slid under that sheet. And I left the hotel, checked out of the hotel, didn't pull that side of the sheet back. So now I have another SOP. Check the room, pull the sheets back, do all of this stuff, yada, 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 yada. But it's the same thing. Like, I don't use that phone. So with that phone, it's like, if it's not in use, it goes in my bag, period.
Yeah. Because legit, I don't know where my other phone is right now. I'm trying to find it. It's been like a week.
I got to find
my iPhone.
So I know where it is. The problem is, I know that it's still at the resort, and I realized where I last used it.
How do I find my iPhone? Like,
I don't know.
What we'll do when we get done. Got it, okay.
I had my assistant find her own phone. It's at the resort, and the people can't find it. So I think it's actually behind the bed or something. I don't know. But, yes, to solve your problem, you have to create SOPs and be intentional about sticking to it.
Yeah.
When I was training myself on my AirPods, this was like 3 years ago, I literally set an alarm every hour. Do you know where your AirPods are?
Wow.
Do you know where your AirPods are? And I just put it was easy to do. When it went off, I'm like, shoot. Because chances are, if I put it down within the hour, I kind of know where that is, right? And I could go
find it
versus at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Neo, I'd be so like,
yeah.
I'd just be trying to make my life easy.
Yeah.
Because I have cost myself so much money being forgetful.
Yeah.
And because my memory isn't always the best, and I don't love to claim that, but that's something that people should know about me.
I'm actually about to go to a doctor on focus, on just locking in. I spent three, four days with
them. What? Prescribe you Adderall.
No, they said my exercises, and I ain't taking no something. That's a drug, ain't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I ain't taking no drugs.
It's the medication that they give you, like, most commonly if you have like ADHD.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
And when I went to the doctor years ago, they're like, well, we could prescribe something for you.
Yeah.
And I actually did. I took it, and it keep you locked in, for sure.
You lock, yeah.
And it kept you so locked in. I'm like, yeah, I can't take these anymore.
Right.
For me right now, what works is a double shot. It can't be a single shot. It has to be a double shot of espresso.
Yeah.
I'm not a coffee drinker.
Yeah.
So when I get that espresso in my system, I'd be like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But I will get a week's worth of work done in a four-hour day.
See, yeah. That's what I need. I think I also do that, just get off social media.
But I can't.
Because it's
work.
I even
have the timeline, the thing, the productivity thing on my phone that says not to be on social media more than 2 hours. But if I'm being honest, I got a lightweight addiction.
Yeah, me too. It's an addiction.
I got a lightweight addiction.
You're on Instagram within 15 minutes of when you wake most people.
For sure.
Yeah, within. First thing I do is I write a letter to God, and then I'm on my phone. What I've done, though, which I got to get back to, is before I touch Instagram, what I used to do was I would delegate 30 to 50 tasks out. Mm. So now I know at least 30 to 50 things will be getting done this day before I touch it. I got to earn Instagram.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm good at is in the morning. You know, I have my morning routine. You've heard me talk about it before. The first 2 hours of the day of me waking up, I am not on my phone.
Yep.
So, and that's the key for
me. What time you get up?
Between 6 and 7.
Yep.
Between 6 and 7, my body will naturally get up.
Yep.
But because of my routine, I don't have to be out of the bed before 8 or 9, depending on what time I get up.
Yep.
That's it. But once I'm allowed to use that phone, it's like, no, you're supposed to just be going over here to check the YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just gonna check Instagram real quick.
Yep.
I'm so addicted to it, but and I've convinced myself that it's okay because I do use it for business so much.
Yeah.
But it's a problem. And I need to be like, when I delegated that out, I had it delegated for a minute and it was working and I didn't have the issue.
Yeah.
But then I got hacked this last time a couple of months ago. So I took it back. Nobody else can have my Instagram anymore.
Yep.
So now I'm addicted again.
Did you do two-factor authentic?
Man, what did I?
Yeah. You got to do all of that crap.
And that was really the only thing that kind of saved me, I think, in terms of being able to get it back.
Yep.
Well, and the key for me was, and this is for anybody, because my guy at Instagram is gone, who used to get my pages back.
Yeah.
I went on a desktop to recover my Instagram page. If you're trying to do it from your cell phone, the steps that they take you through are a whole lot harder. Yeah. You go on a desktop, and for me, it was a cheat code. So
let me ask you, what if you wouldn't have got your Instagram back?
I would have done what I've done the other four times.
Just grind it back up. Yeah. But what about a lot of people who right now, they're only depend. They don't got no email list. They don't got no text.
Yeah.
If Instagram go down for a lot of people online, even me, it's going to affect you, but it can wipe people out of business.
For sure.
If Instagram go down for the Shade Room, their business is over. I don't know that.
Because they have a blog.
And they've been making money for it. I'm just using that. Let me know. Shade Room, don't come for me,
don't
please.
Don't come for him.
Yeah,
but so, if Shade Room picks up the clip, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
But
you get what I'm saying. The idea is that most people don't have a blog. They ain't having a collection process.
So the first time that I got hacked to where I could not get the page back at all was in 2020. I had literally just, my business was just really starting to boom on Instagram because I was anti-Instagram.
Yeah.
I was still on Facebook, right? I was anti-Instagram. My business was really just starting to boom, and I was figuring it out. We had the podcast and all that stuff. Page gets shut down, fooling around in Dubai, plugged into their mall Wi-Fi.
Mm.
An hour later, done, right?
Wow.
So the page gets shut down. In the middle of the night, I wake up, can't get it back. And I go through a period of 3 weeks. I had an email list, but I didn't have an engaged email list because I wasn't really emailing them like that.
Yeah.
So I had to reach out to all my friends who had some reach on Instagram. I started a new
page.
Post me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I reached out to all my friends who had some reach, and I'm like, post me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that got me back up to, so what I learned, though, is that even though I'd have several hundred thousands of followers if I never got hacked now.
Yeah.
What I learned was, even though I didn't get all my following back, I got the people who was buying from me and following me anyway.
Yeah.
So
the people who actually matter and care.
But you know what else saved me?
Mm-hmm.
Even at that time, I've had a recurring revenue model since 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So when my page went down, it impacted new money, but I still had existing money.
Yeah.
And so that was really a thing. So that's also a thing, like get you some recurring revenue.
That's the biggest thing. That's one of my biggest mistakes in business, not having recurring revenue, not sticking with recurring revenue.
Do you have it now?
Yes. Okay. But even now, it's not, I gotta focus more on it.
Yeah.
It has to be almost the number one focus.
It has to be the number one focus.
Russell Brunson says, if you don't have recurring revenue, you don't have a business.
And I agree with him fully.
Yeah.
I mean, because otherwise you are just operating from sale to sale.
That's it.
What happens?
It's a paycheck to paycheck.
And especially like you're Neo, you're your business, yeah, right? So what happens if something happens? Like, are we really talking about legacy business and generational wealth?
Luckily for me, I got a bunch of other things going where I ain't just depending on my own brand, but I understand totally what you mean.
It's
imperative that you add recurring revenue to your business.
And
I started with recurring revenue. It was like, I'm like, yo, that's the way.
I learned recurring revenue from the network marketing industry because I was their recurring customer.
Yeah.
Every single month that $500 is coming out of my account.
Wow, it was $500?
Yeah, in my last company, $500. $500 a month. Was it $500? It was somewhere between $2 and $500.
Yeah.
They have the tiers.
Tiers.
So it was somewhere between $2 and $500. But I learned like, they don't need us to sell anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just if you have these people who are coming and you're training and developing them in a particular way, the sales of the products just kept them legal and was a bonus, right?
Yeah. Mm.
I learned that. So in 2017, I started creating my own recurring revenue. My current community, Actionable CEO, at that time was Actionable Woman.
Mm.
And so I had people who were paying a recurring model. But like you, it wasn't that I didn't take it seriously. I was really just trying to figure it out and how to keep people engaged. So I wasn't building it as big as I could
have. Yeah.
The other thing that I would recommend that people do is get out of these, stop building Facebook groups. You got to either build your own app or go to platforms like School, Mighty Network, or Circle.io and build a community there that you're paying to build. Like, you're paying for this platform if you didn't.
So everybody's going to see your information.
Well, not only that, everybody's going to see your information, but we were talking about in the event of getting hacked, you've got all this community of people here, and you can reach out to them directly.
Yep.
It's really difficult. Like, when you're building these Facebook communities and things like that, you're literally praying that the platform doesn't go down.
And you're praying that the people actually see it. And everybody don't see the posts.
They don't see it.
Yeah.
They don't see it. And the thing is, like, somebody would argue and say, oh, well, your website can go down. Yeah, it can. But it has all this data. It can go down, but they've got the data on the back end.
Yeah.
We just get those reports. It's just a matter of exporting a report.
Yeah.
You've got every name, every contact information, every address, whatever you were collecting.
Yeah.
It's right there. Yeah. So get off of these platforms like social media, because as you see, they're changing, they're going down. Like, if your business, what do you think about people who are solely building their business on TikTok?
I mean, if they sell it and shut it down, you in trouble.
You in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, anything singular is not the way. You have to diversify.
You got
to
diversify.
And even if it's not you, let someone, like, I don't run TikTok, but someone's doing it. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I'm at least on there.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I think that's a critical thing. Like, you cannot depend on one way right now, especially in 2024.
Yeah.
Got to be other ways you eat. Affiliate models, referrals, just it's so many other different things you got to start adding to your business to make it work.
Yeah.
Need to be, how can I get the absolute most money from this customer relationship that we have?
Mm-hmm.
It's critical.
Before we wrap this up, Neo, I got to ask this because even I, knowing what I know about building a business, even I think you're unique.
I appreciate it.
Right? You're different.
I appreciate it. I'm trying.
You different. And I want to know, as well as I'm sure everybody who's watching this wants to know, what is your it factor? Like, where did it come from? How did you develop it?
Yeah.
And how are you just like miles ahead?
No, I mean, I don't think I got no it factor.
Oh, you got an it factor, Neo.
I think for me, it's just been, when I got fired from 10 jobs, my 10th job, I became mentally unemployable, and I told myself it has to work or it has to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been focusing on that. Like, I'm always looking for the next thing. I'm always looking to and you got to pick up this book, Donnie. My entire life, because how I had to do it, has always been month to month or year to year, meaning I'm really not in the 2030. I can't tell you what I'm going to do in 2030 right now, keeping it real. I can't tell you what I'm going to do in 2028. I don't have a plan for 2028. Right? I'm just being all the way honest with you. And the reason why, because when I became full-time entrepreneur, I'm literally paycheck to paycheck, next gig to next. And that lasted for 10 plus years. Mm-hmm. I just got out of that. We talking about 5 years ago, whenever it was, maybe 5-6 years ago. But it's always been, I just got to, what's the next lick, hack, and I guess what I'm saying is it just made me accustomed to just keep trying to figure out the next thing until, because I knew I couldn't go back to a job. So this thing had to work, but I had to find the thing. So I read this book, or at least the first hour and a half audio. You got to read it. Patrick David, Your Next Five Moves, has been huge for me. Because it's now got me thinking a year out, 2 years out, 5 years out. Like, what is my next move outside of these things? So that's one of the, if it's an if factor, now I'm thinking about what is my next thing. I'm thinking about, leveling
Wait,
up.
What's that book again?
Your Next Five Moves.
Your Next Five Moves. See y'all.
Patrick
Bet
David.
I take immediate action.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And that's the other thing.
I already ordered the other one that you told me. It's done. It's ordered.
and that is your success. That's the it factor. It's doing it imperfectly, committing, not getting in your head. What if it don't work? What if it do work? And that might be the it factor. It's my success loves speed. It's execution over excuses. It's go get the crap done. Because I've learned that every time you wait, it always costs you more. Mm-hmm. Every time you don't do the thing, what Myron says, the quicker you get to your dream life, the longer you get to enjoy it. So I would say the it factor is just, I'm just doing the thing.
Just doing the thing.
I don't even know. I'm just doing it. If they say, yo, how did you get here? I'm just doing the thing.
Just doing
it. Just keeping it moving forward.
And that's so important.
Yeah.
We're a lot alike in that. People will say, well, what do you see for yourself 20 years from now? And my only answer is success.
Like, yeah.
I know
no
that.
Other option. Yeah.
That's it. Like,
but I don't know the plan 20 years from now.
I don't know the plan. I cannot tell you step by step.
You didn't have a plan of being a millionaire, I don't think. I mean, it was just... You kept doing the thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Until you arrived there.
Like, I knew that it would happen for me, but I didn't know how it would happen. Yeah. And I didn't. And when I started doing what I was doing, I didn't know that that would be the thing. Right.
Yeah.
And that's like a really big, that's a really big key that we can almost wrap up on. Like, you just got to do it.
Yeah. My goal is to make $100 million. I have no clue in a year. I have no clue how. But I know for sure, not having the goal, you won't get there.
You won't get it.
Not having the goal of becoming an entrepreneur, you won't become one. Not having the goal of becoming financially free, you won't get there. Not having the goal of improving your credit, you won't improve it. Mm-hmm. So I'm always on, have the goal, and you're going to find a way to get there if you're serious about it.
Yeah.
You're going to work towards it. Like, I don't care if I never make it. I mean, never make that amount. I would like to, but... At least I'm setting my intentions on doing it.
And you have to set the goal so big, like you said, it don't really matter if you get $100 million or not. But if you know that you're intentional about going for it, what happens when you get $70 million?
Yeah.
Like, are we going to be upset?
Yeah. Well, if you get 20, it's like, well, it's a lot more than what I had.
It's a lot more than what I had. Neil, you're the only other person I have ever heard one of my favorite sayings. I said this to my mom. I tell the story all the time about when I lost everything and I was living back with my mom years ago. One day, I moved back in with her in my childhood home.
Yeah.
And one day she walks past my
bedroom. Is that in Atlanta?
In Atlanta.
Okay.
I'm originally from New Orleans, but I grew up in College Park, Georgia.
Okay.
And so she walks past my bedroom and I'm in the bedroom laughing at something. And this is after I just lost my cars to repossession, home to foreclosure. I went from a six-figure paying job to working $11 an hour part-time through a temp agency. Yeah. And I'm laughing at something. And my mom walks past my room, and then she takes a step back, and she comes back, and she's like, I just don't understand you. Like, with everything you got going on right now, how do you find time to laugh? Like, aren't you worried? Aren't you worried about your future? And I said, no, I'm not. Like, it's not going to serve me to sit around and be upset and angry and mope in this moment. Like, I know, Ma, that my future is going to be great. Like, it has to be. It just has to be, or it has to be.
Yep.
Right? There are no other options for me.
Yep.
And it's you everything. Say, it has to happen or it has to happen. Yep. And you're the only other person I know who says that. And I mean that.
Yeah, facts.
And I know you mean it too. When you say it has to happen or it has to happen.
Has to work or it has to work.
Yeah. What does that mean to you?
That's my life. Like, people think that crap is a joke. Like, it all stems back to getting fired from the 10th job and getting kicked out of high school and college. I had no other option. So I said, entrepreneurship is going to work for me or it's going to work for me. So many people be like, yo, Donnie, what's the toughest thing been about your journey? I don't look at any of the things I've been through as an entrepreneur as been tough. Mm. Owing the IRS, getting a bad credit score, not being paycheck to paycheck, overdraft fees, failure after failure. I didn't look at any of those things as really tough because if you knew that's your only option, if I know not going back to work, if I know this is the only thing, none of those things is tough because it's all a part of the process. Mm-hmm. So I set up in my mind that things have to work. Becoming a millionaire has to work. Flying on a private jet, in my mind, it had to work. It didn't happen until 8-9 years. But I tell people also, you got to hold on to your vision. It's not if it's going to work, it's when it's going to work. But that's a mindset. I spent years, like you do so much on personal development. 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, The Secret, Think and Grow Rich, The Power of the Subconscious Mind. I used to watch this video with Will Smith and Tavis Smiley. I watched it 1,000 times. 6 minutes and 31 seconds. And he talk about, I will die on a treadmill. I'm reading, watching 100-time Jim Rohn. Like I almost brainwashed myself to know that whatever it is that I want, I'm going to have. And I'm at the gym the other day. I'm like, I realize me having my dream cars, me having my homes, me having all of these things is everything that I once said. I knew it was going to work. I just didn't know when it was going to work. Mm-hmm. So I actually got away from that. So now I'm going back to money comes easily, frequently, and abundantly. The life that I want I'm trying to look at what is the next thing that I want. And now I'm putting all of my energy back on there because it's not if it's going to work, it's when it's going to work. But so many people, they don't have that. Well, I'm about to be an actress, but I'm going to move to LA. But if it won't work, it ain't going to work because
you already gave not working an option.
Yeah. So it's done.
It's done.
And that's with everything. I'm like, yo, you're not successful because of you. Mm-hmm. It's not the people talking you out of. You have already told yourself it ain't going to work already. Mm. I know these things are going to work. I'm so convinced that this is going to work. I just don't know when it's going to. I'm convinced I'll make $100 million. I just don't know how.
Yeah.
But yeah. If you stay on a path long enough and you meet the right people long enough, it is going to happen.
Mm.
You get around Bill Gates, you get around a Warren Buffett, you get around these people long enough, we're in our peer group long enough, you start making more money.
You have to. You have to.
Or you can't hang around.
And it's not even like if you're not making the money yet, if you have the mindset that making the money might not be possible for you, you got to move far away from it.
It's over with. You're done. It's not even.
Because now you bring the value of the circle down.
Yeah.
Facts. And Donnie Wiggins ain't going to be the one bringing the value of the circle down.
100%.
Nehemiah Davis is not going to be the one bringing the value of the circle down.
That's a fact.
I raise the value of my circle.
Yeah.
Facts. And that's the energy that I operate on every single time. I know that we've had you on the Social Proof podcast so many times, and Neo be hating to have a personal development conversation, right? But let me tell you, Neo, 100% of your success
personal
is
development
due to how you have trained your mind. You said it yourself. I brainwashed myself.
Literally.
I say the same. I brainwashed myself. I tell people who come into my community, like, I'm going to brainwash you.
Yeah.
That's my intention. My goal here is to brainwash you into believing bigger in yourself, into setting bigger goals and believing that you can actually accomplish them, into going after and taking action, like not just having the goal, but take action toward them.
Yeah.
100% of your success is based on the way you have brainwashed yourself to believe what you believe about yourself.
Yeah.
And that belief is what drives your action.
That's it. And that success left be the execution over excuses. I legit brainwashed my move fast. People will be wildly successful in a short period of time if they commit. Wildly successful.
You think we brainwashed some people in this episode today?
I'm hoping.
I hope so.
I'm hoping they go work on themselves.
Go get the books.
Yeah. And it's like, you gave me this. And I always quote you. I'm like, yo, every day, 6 or 7 figure conversation.
6 and 7.
Intentional. Conversation. You shouldn't even go to bed without having one of them.
Yeah. You can't. You can't.
No day should go by without you having a growth conversation, though. Because even with your darn self.
Yes. Because if you did not have a growth conversation, at least one today, you've wasted the whole day.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
You talking about all Kate Dodd and like that consumed the internet for like 3, and I ain't mad at it doing that, but them people already rich. Mm-hmm. They are. What are you doing right now?
Somebody hit me in my DMs yesterday, in fact, and they sent me a video of this woman talking about getting what she wants in a man and why men don't treat women this way. And black woman, why aren't you getting the love that you deserve?
Yep.
And they said, Donnie, I want to know your thoughts on this. And my response was, I don't have the capacity to entertain conversations like this because these conversations are divisive. They're not abundant. Mm. And if we're not talking about wealth or business and relationships and parenting and all of it from a position of abundance and great outcomes, I'm tuned out of those conversations. Mm. I am no longer giving energy into why black men aren't doing this and why black women don't deserve this. That is beneath the radar that I choose to operate at. Like, that's so low level for me.
Yeah.
But so many people are spending their time consumed in these conversations that are meant to divide while I'm having conversations with the Nehemiah Davises and we trying to multiply some
things.
That's
it. Facts. That's it.
Yeah. That's the best way to drop this episode. In this episode, Neo, all of your details are going to be in wherever they're watching this. All Perfect. Of Neo's details are going to be in the description of wherever you are watching this video or listening to it. Thank you for being here
today. Thank you for having me. It was an amazing, great conversation.
As usual, you guys, you already know, I want you to comment. What is your biggest takeaway? Was it the networking piece? Was it the hiring piece? Was it looking for A players? Was it how I make people sign an NDA? Or was it the personal development? What was it about this episode that stood out for you? We want to hear about it. And as usual, we will see you on next week's episode of Full Transparency.
Let's go. Peace. Yes, yes.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.